session.
It is Friday, November 8th, 2019. A massive 11-game slate to close the week. Welcome to DG Courtroom. I'm your tired host, the judge, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at DG Courtroom. A lot of stories, a lot of posts, a lot of content up there every day that hopefully you guys find entertaining and informative that should help you get prepared for each night's NBA DFS slate. Also, if you like the show, you like what we're doing, like the content that we are putting out there, please rate, review, and subscribe to the show. I know a lot of the diehard listeners who have been with me for years have already done that, but take a friend's phone or a friend's computer, a wife, a spouse, a girlfriend, a lover, a brother, a sister, and leave another review. It's possible. Again, stuff like that, it helps us with the metrics and to eventually and hopefully get a sponsor for the show, which is much needed and deserved, right, guys? So again, if you could do that, it would really mean a lot to me. Also, when I tweet out the link, please retweet. Likes are great too, but retweets are always better. Man, guys, it's really freaking late. I no joke. It's 6:08 Eastern in the morning. Long night of watching all the games, and then it was a lot of prep for the show. Had to add. Well, you guys will see in a few minutes what else we added in this show, which took some extra time. But it's late. A massive 11-game slate, so we don't have much time to waste. The housekeeping, you guys know by now. Slack is back with improvements. It is $20 for the rest of November. You guys know, what's my sole goal in life? To make the bailiff happy, right? The bailiff is my 4-year-old French bulldog. By the way, he's going to be 5 in January. Where does the time go? Man, what, that's almost 40 in dog years? That made me so sad when I was thinking about that today. Oh, man, I love that guy so much, though. My sole goal in life, making the bailiff happy and content and fulfilled. My second goal, to making Slack the ultimate DFS experience, giving you everything you need to make yourself a profitable DFS player. And we're getting there. I'm telling you, man, we are getting there. There's still a lot of things I want to do in Slack, a lot of improvements, a lot of tweaks. We will constantly be adding things to it as the year progresses. But I'm happy with where we currently are, and it's only going to get better. We're currently, by the way, at our most members we've ever had, which is also great to see. Growing, I think, is good for us in many ways. So how long can I last, though? That's my only concern. So if you want to get in Slack, I'd recommend you do it now. you get my crack core 4, my top plays I'm building my lineups around. You also get a spreadsheet of my top plays. And those two things have really been hot to start the year. You combine that with, the new channel that we added, the process where I'm breaking down slates and breaking down my cash game lineups, and that hopefully is putting people on the path to success. I'm getting a lot of positive feedback. I'm putting a lot of time in it, I can tell you that. Every free second I have goes into Slack and goes into improving that and making it the best that it can be and giving you guys all the tools that you need. I know there's a lot of stuff out there, right? There's a lot of sites. There's a lot of people in your ear. Hell, even in Slack itself. If you go on Slack in the general channel, there's all kinds of people talking, shouting out players and names with the course of the day. Like, that's going to happen in any Discord, any Slack, any chat room where, people get to share their views, right? But honestly, if you just use the core and the spreadsheet, read that process channel, that's a hell of a start. I've been saying this for years. A lot of the key is drowning out a lot of the excess noise. There's too much stuff out there. There's too much. You don't need to be on 4 different sites looking at all these different projection models and having 20 different people telling you who to play. You just don't need that. You need to find a process that works for you. And I think the way that we're going about it in Slack is giving you the foundation that you need. So, again, I recommend that you get in there. And off of that, you know, we're just a really, really great start to the season. I couldn't ask for a better start. You know, I made profits on 13 out of the 17 slates, which is pretty wild when you think about it. You know, and Thursday in particular. I mean, that's what NBA DFS is all about. That's what Slack was all about. I mean, it was great. You know, I was fortunate to nail the core and the plays on the spreadsheet. We had LaMarcus Aldridge and Whiteside as core plays. The industry was selling LaMarcus on both sites, you know, thinking he was way too expensive on FanDuel, which he was 8K, and it was a four-game slate. So I didn't understand that at all. So I was very happy to get LaMarcus, who, by the way, I mean, him shooting 19 for 23, that was a little bit lucky, right? Couldn't count on that. But he was terrific. We got him under 20% on both sites. You know, Whiteside on FanDuel was around 20%. DraftKings, he was a little bit chalkier, especially in the high-stake stuff. But still, RotoGrinders, they were pushing Harrell as the better cash game play. And, you know, we pounced on Whiteside. We'll get to him in a few minutes. But that ended up, you know, working out beautifully for us. So, you know, that led to, I took third place in the $100 single entry on DraftKings. I think eighth place in the $40 single entry, 12th in the $44 spin move contest, and, you know, was able to make, I think, close to $3,000 on DraftKings, another few hundred on FanDuel. So, it was a really nice night, and we just continue the domination, which is good to see, right? It's good when the hard work can pay off. Now, I am sure that if you listen to some other shows today, maybe you're on YouTube, there's some other stuff out there. Doesn't Osimo have a lot of crunches, a lot of players and lineups he's going to spew your way? I'm sure he does. I'm sure the other box score shows, right, will read to you Whiteside stats. And they will look glorious, my friends. They really will. But all of us in Slack, we're watching that damn game together. And again, like, that is really what makes NBA DFS and Slack just different from anything else. I mean, Whiteside in that first half, it was an abomination. At the beginning of that game, I went a block away to my deli to grab a bite to eat and a piece of bacon for the bailiff. Bailiff, he needs to lose like 5 pounds, so we got to be careful on the bacon. But he got some bacon. I come home. Whiteside's already on the freaking bench. It must have been like 6 minutes into the game. I think he already had 2 fouls. I was recording the game, so I went back and quickly watched. Zubac was lighting him up. I mean, it was watching a rabbit versus a turtle. Zubac was this lightning-fast rabbit, while the slow, immobile, statue-like turtle could barely move. I was beyond mortified, horrified, whatever adjective you want to use. Then, after a long, an hour passed by, about 5 minutes left in the first half, Whiteside finally gets back in the game. And the next 5 minutes were just indescribable. Zubac once again ate him alive. First of all, Whiteside's not young. Like, I think he's 30 years old, maybe 31. He had a bunch of issues early in his career. You know, couldn't even get on a team because of kind of some off-court stuff and his immaturity. Was cut from several different teams before he finally latched on in Miami. So he's not a spring chicken, and he clearly has dealt with, for big guys, you get up there and hit that 30 mark, it's tough, right? I mean, he's clearly dealing with some injuries. You know, over the years, I'm not sure how much his body is just completely broken at this point, but he can't move very well, and he can't jump. Zubac must have blocked his shot like 3 times in a 2-minute span. I legitimately, and I'm not joking when I say this, I thought Stotts was going to bench him for the rest of the game. If I had to put odds, it would have been like even odds if Whiteside was going to play another second in that game. He looked that bad. Hell, I thought genuinely that Whiteside might retire. That could have been it. His career was over. I mean, he did not look like an NBA caliber player. Like, you have to be able to move on the court a little bit. And he was just so stiff out there. Man, it was so bad. I mean, I think Stotts in real life is a good coach. But for DFS, He just trolls us for years about doing a bunch of crazy stuff, and he's not afraid to get creative with his lineup. So I was very nervous that Whiteside would play another second in that game. So, I mean, I'm sitting there. I have these really solid lineups going on both sides, but Whiteside's a core player for me and us, all of us in Slack, right? So I'm feeling pretty blue. Everyone in Slack's pissed off. You have members logging off. I logged off for a little bit. People bickering. It was tense. It was pain. It was DFS. And then the second half begins, and Whiteside is simply unleashed. Now, he still struggled to move, but, you know, there was stuff after the game, even I think after halftime, that Lillard gave him a pep talk, and a bunch of people got in his ear. And he came out with a different level of energy and aggression, that's for sure. I mean, he's so damn big that if he's active, he's going to stumble into fantasy points in a flurry. And the flurry came and came and came. He put up 40 fantasy points in the second half. I mean, he played 18 to 20 minutes in the second half, which that must be a career high in one half for him. I was, like, really astonished, amazed, impressed, mesmerized by what we witnessed there. And kudos to him, because I don't think in Miami a few years, you know, I don't know, last year, 2 years ago, whatever, that he could have bounced back like that. So maybe he's matured a bit. You know, and I don't recall an in-game turnaround from a player, you know, going from you should quit basketball and never play again to putting up 40 and a half. I don't recall ever watching that in a basketball game. Pretty insane. And to experience that, all of us as a group together in Slack, when we all had tons of Whiteside, watching all of our lineups go in the green on both sites while Rotocrime was sleeping, it was awesome. And, you know, winning thousands helped too, obviously. but, man, I must admit, at halftime, I was prepared to spend this entire podcast, an hour, however long it took, destroying Whiteside. And now I feel kind of silly, right? I mean, there's no doubt I owe Whiteside an apology. And if you listen to the show, you've been listening for a few years now, you know there's really only one way to truly offer my sincerest apology. And that is via a song. Enjoy. Give me a second, I need to get my lineup straight. I'm hiding in the bathroom, need a center, but there's nothing great. The bailiff, he's waiting for me, really needs a walk. I'm just so scared to hit submit, but it's time to win a car. And I know he gave up on you years ago. He never plays you, no regrets. But a small slate made you a thing, and now he owes you an apology, you know. He's trying hard to take it back. So, if by the time the slate closes, and if the judge takes some tournaments down, you carried his lineups home. Whiteside! The judge was wrong. You set his world on fire. You burn brighter than the sun. Whiteside. The judge was wrong. You set his world on fire. You burn brighter than the sun. There it is. I was wrong. Whiteside, man. Whiteside. What is wrong with me doing stuff like that? You know how long it takes to put stuff like that together? God, I have issues. Anyway, thank you, Mr. Whiteside, and what a night. All right, now for a different type of song. Okie, come on in here. We got to break down this 11-game slate. Let's get to it. So, remember, 11 games late, narrow down the player pool. We can't play everyone. There's lots of injury news out there. So this is just an overview, right? To whet your appetite a bit. You know, get your mind, get the juices flowing on who you which guy you may want to target. We kick it off. Memphis, Orlando, 207 over under. Orlando, 6.5-point favorite. You know what? Let's just X this game off. Let's make it a 10-game slate. Why do we need this game in our lives? We don't. Orlando, worst offensive team in the league. It's pathetic. They may be the worst in pace as well. It's horrifying. Memphis, it's the worst rotation in the league. No one could even play more than 25 minutes. It was a miracle that Valanciunas, you know, what did he get, 30 minutes last game? I think he got close to 30 minutes. Why do we need this in our lives? We don't. In cash games, I'm not touching any of these fools. Aaron Gordon has shown, like, small flashes, and he was an 8K player at one point last year. He's down to 6.3 on FanDuel. On DraftKings, he's down to 6K. You know, but again, this is a loaded slate. I don't think you need it. Isaac went berserk last slate. I mean, he had five steals, he had a quadruple 5x5 line with five steals, five blocks, five assists, five rebounds. It was 5 points. It was a glorious fantasy lineup. But again, with him, he doesn't shoot. He has no usage. Orlando, they are my least favorite team to watch in the entire league. I even prefer watching Cleveland over them at this point. My boy Markel Fultz is starting, but playing in that first unit makes no sense to me with those guys. Steve Clifford doesn't let him push the pace. So you look at their pricing. They're cheap, but they should be cheap because there's not a lot of possessions. It's a defensive grind. Now, they are playing up in pace against Memphis, so you can take some shots here. Fournier is dirt cheap. I told you Isaac has the upside, but again, it's so dependent on blocks and steals, which is a little bit scary. Vucevic just doesn't look right, and the center is loaded on this slate, so who the hell do you want to play? Now, I can already see some of you guys are going to tell me to play Michael Carter-Williams. Go to hell. Why am I going to play Michael Carter-Williams on an 11-game slate? Yeah, he looked good last game. Terrence Ross is out. He got 21 minutes, and he put up 34 fantasy points. If he beats me on this slate, so be it. Like, as of right now, at 6:24 in the morning, I can't envision him making my lineups. Could something change? I guess. Are some of you going to play him? I know you guys. I know some of you will. I mean, but there's so many great plays. There's also a lot of great value plays on the slate. Is it the worst play in the world to play MCW? No, but I think there's better avenues. There's better paths. And again, even the minutes weren't great last game. You think he's going to get you two fantasy points a minute again? I don't see it, even though Orlando, again, playing up in pace. On the Memphis side, it's just all of them can go to hell. You know, sorry, B-Cam in Slack, Brandon, I know you're from Memphis. That's your team. Look, I like your players. I love Ja. Jaren Jackson Jr., maybe one day I'll go back to liking him, but he can't stay out of foul trouble. He doesn't rebound the ball, and I don't know why I'd want to play him at this point. And his minutes aren't even great. So, really, I guess in a tournament, you could try those guys. I mean, Ja's not cheap either. He's 7.9 now. I mean, he's putting up really nice lines in limited minutes. So, you know, you could take a shot in tournaments, but seeing 25 minutes just sucks. Like, I want my guys to play 35. Yeah, I've missed out on DeJounte Murray for the Spurs because he's playing 24 minutes a night. And he keeps putting up like 45 fantasy points. But I'll let that beat me, right? And I was able to still, even though he went off, I was still able to make really good money on Thursday. Like, I want my guys who are going to play minutes. Like, 25 minutes, that's tough to pay 7.9K for Ja. In DraftKings, he's what? 7.2. So I'll look elsewhere. Jonas would be, it's amazing that he couldn't ever get minutes in Toronto. He goes to Memphis now. He can lead the team in minutes, which is crazy. So, I don't think I'll play Jonas because I love center on this slate, but, you know, in tournaments, whatever. I like Brandon Clark, too. Again, I love a lot of their guys. The problem is that I'm not sure why that coach thinks he has to give everyone equal minutes. I don't know what that philosophy is. Why can't you play Ja 30 minutes? What the hell? What is he trying to accomplish or what is he trying to do? If I ever get some free time, which I never will, I want to dive into why he's doing that to them this year. They're not going to win games anyway. I mean, so tanking doesn't make sense. Especially it's so early in the season anyway. Very bizarre. Let's move on. Cleveland-Washington. This game is juicy. 228 over-under. You got the Wizards, a five-point favorite. Washington, just a horrendous defensive team. A horrendous team in general. Cleveland's not much better. On the Wizards' side, they're making moves. They're making big-time changes because Bonga Juice is getting benched. I bet half of you guys don't even know who the hell Isaac Bonga is. Well, now you probably don't ever have to again. I mean, he's been the minimum all year. I've tried to play him a couple times, and then I would just cringe and pray he'd get me a block or a steal or make a layup or do something out there. So the two names that have been floated around as to start for him are you know, guys that we know, C.J. Miles and Troy Brown Jr. I'm not aroused, even though if you Google C.J. Miles, you will be aroused. Oh, you will be aroused. And one day on the pod, when we have some time, remind me to tell you the story when I tried to get C.J. Miles, not the NBA player, as a guest on the show. So, look, I know a lot of you guys last late, Troy Brown Jr., but early in the day, he was chalk-ish. Against Detroit, I think he had 40 fantasy points, and he went nuts, and he looked great, but we've seen this guy for years. Last game against Indiana, he went back to being the pretty mediocre player we all know and love, and he gave you 9 fantasy points. So hopefully he didn't fall for that trap and play him, even though he was popping up in a lot of optimal lineups. And I'm looking at their numbers again, and Troy Brown Jr. is projected for like 24 fantasy points. He's only 4K on FanDuel and only 4.4 on DraftKings. C.J. Miles, projections aren't great, but he's 3.9 on FanDuel and 4.1. I know whichever one starts, it's going to draw some ownership. Maybe both those guys get some ownership. I probably won't have a ton. I'll be under the field on those guys unless something crazy happens. They're just not very good basketball players. So, yeah, C.J. Miles, again, if you play him, you got to hope he makes, what, 6 threes? He can't do much else. He's just going to space the floor and shoot. It does make some sense to space the floor for Bradley Beal and give him some room to operate. But I'm not going to go crazy playing those guys. Beal has been interesting to watch the year. He's shooting like crazy. His usage is insane. 29 shots last game. His usage is like bordering like 35%, something wild. The peripherals, a little better the last couple games. 5 rebounds, 5 assists. We can take that. Still waiting for the big fantasy production game. He's had one this year where he went nuts in that 159-158 Houston game. Other than that, he's been like in the 40s. The price is 9.1 on FanDuel, 8.6 on DraftKings. It's fine for his usage. His minutes are secure as long as Washington can keep a game close. And here you got two crappy teams. This should be a competitive game. So I'm fine with Beal. All formats, I think. First few lineups that I looked at and made, he did not make my lineup, but I'm not opposed to it. I didn't see him in any optimizers yet either. I'm curious to see what his ownership is. He's projected for around 47 fantasy points. The other guys from this Wizards team, Isaiah Thomas, 19 minutes last game, so I don't know what the hell they're doing. Again, I don't know why he is starting. It makes much more sense for him to come off the bench where he can just take all the usage and score in that second unit. Him and Beal are not a good fit on the court. And Isaiah kind of looks lost a little bit. So not really sure what Scott Brooks is doing. But these coaches are very smart, right? So they're smarter than us. No, they're not. Isaiah, I don't love it. You can take a shot. These Cleveland defenders are awful. Sexton and Garland are just atrocious, so I don't mind attacking them. which is why Beal becomes a little bit more appealing. Isaiah, I guess, too. Hakimura keeps letting me down. I keep trying to play him. The minutes are an issue with him. They're not great. He has not been getting off to good starts. He got foul trouble 2 games ago. Last game, he just sucked. It's hard to get excited about that. Thomas Bryant, I just love center on this slate, so it's hard to find myself playing a lot of Bryant. On the Cleveland side, Kevin Love's expensive, net 9.3K on FanDuel, and he's 9.3 on both sites. He's been really good, and I think he's got a great matchup here. He should be able to obliterate Hakimura, especially down low, if he takes him in the post. And he could have a big rebounding game. But even if he pops off for 45 to 50, is that enough on this slate? I don't know. It's fine. Maybe in some game stacks, I think I'll have one lineup with a Beal and Kevin Love. Maybe one other person piece from this game. I don't hate it, but it's a little bit more than I want to spend for him right now. Garland is dirt cheap, but he stinks. He contributes nothing. Tough to play him. Sexton has shown flashes of life the last couple games. Against Boston, which is a tough matchup. 30 fantasy points, which was pretty solid at that price, right? You would take that. But 11-game slate, guys. There's so many better plays. Tristan Thompson, just someone I just don't see myself rostering. 8.3 on FanDuel, 7.5 on DraftKings. You'll see. We'll get to so many better centers. Jordan Clarkson is lingering as a last piece. Larry Nance made a lot of optimizers the last couple slates because he's under 5K now. The problem is, that coach is not high on Nance at all. His biggest problem with Nance is he needs Nance to space the floor. If you're going to play Nance as a stretch four, that's a freaking problem. He's not a shooter. He's not a stretch four. I don't know why can't we just get rid of Tristan Thompson? Hell, put him on the fat bench. Or put his fat butt on the bench and just start Larry Nance. Nance, I don't. What do you want to do with Tristan Thompson anyway? Nance is a really good player. Defensively, he's really good. He just never gets a fair shot, man. And this coach is certainly not going to give it to him right now. So it's hard. You can't really get excited about that either. I mean, Jordan Clarkson, not awful idea at 5K. They need scoring and off the bench, whatever. Next game up, Detroit, Indiana. This game is pretty juicy too because Detroit, their entire team is still injured. Check the news, but I'm pretty sure Frazier is still out and Rose is still out and Blake is still out. And Bruce Brown, Kennard, Snell, Markieff, Drummond, they're all going to play monster minutes. Galloway off the bench, and you can take a flyer in tournaments if you want. And then Christian Wood never gets enough minutes, even though he should be starting over the corpse of Markieff Morris. Bruce Brown didn't do enough last game for us. The thing that disturbed me the most, he didn't even close the game. That sucked. 5.6K. Remember, we were playing him when he was under 4K, and that was glorious, right? At the price he is now, he got us 24 last game, 3 of 9 from the field. We need a little bit more. I don't hate it. There's just better options on this slate, but in a game stack, it's great. He still could find a way to get 35 to 40. One thing, my new favorite stat is assist opportunity. I don't know why I never looked at that in previous years, but he did have some assist opportunities that just didn't come to fruition last game. So I don't hate the play. I just don't think you need to play Bruce Brown. Luke Kennard, his peripherals last game were amazing. 9 rebounds and 7 assists from little Luke Kennard. It's actually not that little. I thought he'd be the one who would be getting all all these extra shots, especially with Rose out. Just not happening. He's just not a huge part of that offense. I was hoping he'd look to create his own shot a little bit more. It hasn't really happened. Only 12 shots the last 2 games. I want more from that from him if I'm going to be paying 5.8K on FanDuel and 6.2 on DraftKings. I'm not paying that DraftKings price. Hell no. 5.8, maybe. Don't love it. Markieff, we were lucky enough that he got us, 40 last game? He was tremendous against his brother. He got us 39 fantasy points. I don't expect that to happen again. As a last piece, if you want to play him, sure. No, but I'm not going to look to target him. Drummond, perfectly fine. Nothing wrong with playing Sleepy Drummond because he's not sleeping anymore. He is great. He's consistent. What more could you want? In cash games, in tournaments, just tremendous. I could not say more positive things about what I've seen from him. And one thing that Detroit is doing, they're basically, he's the point guard. If you watch them play, he's at the top of the key for so much of the game. They pass him the ball, and then Detroit has a bunch of cutters, and he's basically initiating that damn offense. 7 assists last game, 4 assists the game before that, and 6 before that. That's not a fluke. So he's going to stuff the stat sheet and love to play. Now, Indiana's really banged up. Turner, is he questionable?
Of course he is.
Of course he is. He's always questionable. They're also dealing with some other guys. Sumner, Summer Knights is out. Who else? I don't even know who else is out. Who knows? I think it's going to be Brogdon, Holiday again, Warren. I think Lamb's out too. Is that the other guy? And Sabonis. And then if Turner, I think, isn't Goga out as well with like a concussion? So, man, they're really freaking banged up. What do we do here? Well, we know Brogdon's safe. That's for damn sure, right? He's going to play monster minutes. Stuffs the stat sheet. Usage is great. He's just not shooting well. 3 of 14 last game was a killer. He was in all our lineups. He was a core player for us in the monster, which you know we fell a little bit short against Chipotle as well. 38 fantasy points. But he's just so steady. He's a really nice cash game play on this slate. I'm fine with it. I don't think you need to play him. He's not going to be a core player for mine, for me. But 8.3 on DraftKings, that's very fair too. But not opposed to it. If he ends up making your cash lineup, I could envision a scenario where that happens. Aaron Holiday's price came up a little bit to 4.1 on FanDuel, 4.2 on DraftKings. I'm not sure yet what to do with him. Looked pretty good last game. I was nervous about the minutes, and he got 30. 7 of 10 from the floor. Didn't do much else, but he got 23 fantasy points, and at that price, that's fine. Now, on this slate, there's a lot of cheap value point guards. Nato is going to be the chalk because Ben Simmons is out. Already mentioned MCW. So Aaron Holiday, I don't know how popular he'll be. Projections, like him but don't love him. So we'll see as the day unfolds what happens with him. TJ Warren, perfectly fine, but he's been shooting kind of lights out. How long can that sustain itself? 15 of 18, 9 of 15, 10 of 16. Doesn't do a whole lot besides score. So regression is going to come back down on that. Don't love that play. Sabonis I have no issue with. I mean, him and Kevin Love, we could do the Beeler-Booker game between those two guys. A very nice matchup for him. He's gonna eat Markieff Morris alive at that price. 8.7 on DraftKings. Again, not cheap. I like him more without Turner, that's for sure. Even if Turner plays, though, it's fine. If Turner plays, I'll probably look elsewhere. Without Turner, I'm going to have some Sabonis exposure. I will. Cash game lineup, not sure if he'll make it. In fact, I don't think he will, but I'll play him a little bit. And then we got to wait for injury news. I don't know what they're going to do. I assume they'll start Sabonis at the center spot if Turner is out and then play him with Sampson. Doug McDermott's had some big games. You know, very scary, though, to trust those guys. Leaf is still floating around somewhere. But, you know, it's on an 11-game slate. We don't have to trust, you know, those bums. Sacramento-Atlanta, another really good game, man. 220 over-under. The Kings a 1.5-point favorite here. Both these teams don't play a lick of defense. Trae Young coming off the worst game that I can recall him playing. A lot of us played him on Wednesday. Was coming off a heroic game, dominating the Spurs in like 29 minutes. Then on Wednesday, we found out no minutes limit, so a lot of us played him. And he was just awful. He just had a bad night. Wasn't there. They got blown out by Chicago. He wasn't engaged from the beginning. It was pretty brutal if you watched. Finished 3 of 12, 15 fantasy points. I mean, he's basically been in the 60s all year long, so that was pretty shocking to see. That's going to change on Friday. He will bounce back. I love Trey. I love Fox. I love both those guys on this slate. Trey's 9.3 on FanDuel, and he's 8.9 on DraftKings. That's a fair price. It's probably what he should be. You're not getting a discount, but he's worth it. I don't know if I'm going to play him in cash as of now. Didn't see him in optimizers. Let me just double check. Yeah, didn't see him in on the three sites that I check. I don't see him. Oh, actually, I see Brogdon. Oh, I do. I see Trey is making some FanDuel. Trey and Brogdon are both making some optimal lineups. Actually, Beal made one too. Beal made several. Ooh, Beal's making a lot more than I thought. Beal is everywhere. Curious to see what Beal's ownership is. Ooh, I see Evan Fournier in there. That's horrifying. So, love the Trey play. Other Atlanta pieces, I mean, without Collins, Jabari Parker, he's just expensive now, and he's a two-category guy, points and rebounds, that's it. So, 7K and 6.4 on DraftKings, it's okay. Don't love it, don't hate it, I'm indifferent. Cam Reddish just stinks at basketball. I had such high hopes for him. Maybe he's struggling playing with such a ball-dominant guard like Trae Young. I'm not sure. It's just he's basically a little bit better than Darius Garland. So it's hard to get excited about Reddish, but he's so cheap. Hunter has shown like some slight flashes lately. The minutes, though, worry me. He said he had one game of 36. Otherwise, he's always in the 20s. Him and Reddish both, they're just so inconsistent and don't give you any sustained fantasy production. So it's hard to get excited about those guys. Alex Len, man, the minutes are a nightmare. I mean, Hurt Locker, the minutes are supposed to come up. It's just they got a lot of guys here, but no one I'm going to play. Bembry, Fernando keeps getting minutes, which is annoying. So does Vince Carter. So if this was a three-game slate, yeah, I'd probably look at some of those guys, right? But 11-game slate, no. One of the themes we talk about in Slack, known versus unknown. You want to play what is known. Atlanta's a lot of unknowns after Trae Young. Sacramento, like a lot of these guys. So I like the Fox play a lot. 8.2K. He's gonna get 40 so easily. He's 8K on DraftKings. His projections are like 39. That seems way too low. I think 40 is the absolute floor for him. Now, last game, Luke Walton finally benched Bielitsa and played Bogdanović. Why are coaches this stupid? We could have told you before the season, in the off season, last season. The second they signed Barnes, you play Barnes at the four, and you play Fox, Hield, and Bogdanović. You get your five best damn players on the freaking court at the same time. Like, what's so hard about that, you idiot coaches? Finally, last game, Bogdanović, he got the minutes that he should be playing. He's a starting level caliber player. He got 32 minutes last game, 34 fantasy points. Took 11 three-pointers, made six of them. It worries me a little bit that he can take the ball out of Fox's hand because he can initiate a lot of offense. And that's one reason ultimately I think he'll be traded, because how good of a fit is Fox, Buddy, and Bogdan? I don't think it's great ultimately, but it sure as hell is the best thing, the option they got now is to play, Fox, Buddy, Bogdan, Barnes, and then Holmes. That's the five you got to roll with. So love the Fox play. Buddy in tournaments, he can get hot at any moment. There's he's a player I don't really ever want to talk about on this podcast again. Like, what? I don't know what to say about him. There's nothing I can say November 8th that I can't, you know, that I won't say March 8th, right? You play him, if he makes some shots, he can win you a car. If he's not making shots, it's going to be a pretty long night. But the usage is pretty consistent. He's giving you around 16 shots a game. The price that seems to... Was he 6.4 last late? And now he... Is that real? Is that... Well, I guess that's DraftKings. He went up $300 to 6.7. And then 7.1 on FanDuel. You know, I don't know if this is the right slate for it. I think in a game stack, if I stack it up... But... Other than that... I'm curious to see what eventually he becomes. Can he become better than an Andrew Wiggins, who just, you know, completely scoring dependent? I hope so. I think he does have some other things he can flash on the court, but right now it's you know, you play him, you hope he bangs 10 threes, and that's about it. Barnes, now he ripped off the condom a couple games. Now he's 6.7K on FanDuel, and he's 5.9 on DraftKings, and that's more than I want to pay for someone who I think is going to put the condom back on, because he doesn't want to go crazy having sex. He wants to make sweet love and kiss you on the mouth without tongue. But he's been good, man. He's had like four games in a row, just really solid. And he's playing like 40 minutes a freaking night. So as a last piece, I guess. And then Holmes, I don't mind Holmes. I think I like him better on DraftKings for sure, because the opportunity cost on FanDuel is too great for me, my friends. But 5.8 on DraftKings against whoever the hell Atlanta is going to play at center. Some Len, some Fernando, maybe Parker plays the five. I don't know who the hell it's going to be. But I want whoever's going to be attacking Jabari Parker, which is one reason why, you know, God. Bielitsa, if the minutes were there, I would have some interest. But like now the minutes worry me there. I do like Holmes. Again, more on DraftKings, where he's also 5.8, and he's cheaper. He's been good. He's always been a fantasy point per minute, and this is the perfect style of game for him. This pace-up game for him. Actually, I don't even know if it's a pace-up game for Sacramento, but it's going to be a fast game, and he's ideally suited for it. That's for sure. All right, next game. How many games we got left? We got 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh my God. 7 left. We got to move fast, man. What the fuck? How is that possible? All right. Golden State, Minnesota. This we can move pretty fast. Russell's probable, so that means he's going to play. I have some interest in Russell, him coming back. The rest of the Warrior guys, I don't see myself playing. I mean, last game, they all got there. Burks went absolutely nuts and busted the slate open. Now he's up to 5.1K. Do you trust him to have a repeat performance? I don't, but I've always loved his game. His entire career, it's been injuries, and he can't shoot, so he can't space the floor. The Warriors are so banged up, and God forbid Jordan Poole can make a shot, that if he gets minutes, he could put up another number. So maybe I'll have exposure to him. I don't know. I mean, he's won me money. He won me a tournament, I think, 2 years ago, maybe. And he won people a tournament two days ago. So it's fine. Poole, I said, just can't make a shot. He stares at us. Glenn Robinson, man, on Wednesday, Chipotle had him, and Glenn Robinson did nothing in the first three quarters. He had like 17 fantasy points in the fourth quarter, and it was like all in garbage time. So, you know, some of these guys, if they make your lineup as a last piece, it's fine. No one I'm looking to target, you know, the GOAT. Paschal came back down to earth last game. You know, Russell's going to take a lot of the usage away from these guys. You know, Paschal in a tournament, I guess, you can consider that if you want. Minnesota is playing really fast, so you can look at some Warrior guys. Even, hell, I mean, I think Spellman even got like 30 freaking fantasy points last game. So, I mean, somebody's got to play and somebody's got to score. But trying to figure it out from this Golden State team, it's hard. You know, besides Russell, who's going to take a lot of shots. And then Paschal, the minutes and usage should be secure. The rest of the guys, you know, I think I'm just going to let those guys beat me on this slate. Minnesota, Teague is questionable. Of course he is. The Warriors are the worst defensive team in the league. So Towns played awful last game and still got close to 50, right? The Towns, Drummond, Embiid debate, man, that is tough. I mean, I might have the exact same lineup and just play one in each. That's going to be so hard to figure out which one to freaking play. They all have great matchups on this slate. And Embiid has no Simmons as well. So if you go Towns, I have no issue with it. Between Towns, Drummond, and Embiid, which one? I don't freaking know right now. Ask me again tomorrow, but I love all freaking three. Covington, no, I mean, it's fine, but I think there's better plays. Wiggins, him and Buddy Hield, they're basically clones to me now. I guess now Buddy's a better shooter, so it's not really fair. If Teague is out, the one guy we probably all will gravitate towards again was Jared Culver, who started last game, and he was great. He was really good. I was nervous. Very impressed. He looked composed. The game wasn't moving too fast for him. The minutes were fine. He got around 30, put up 32 fantasy points, 5 rebounds, and 7 assists with 13 shots. Hell, he's a small forward on FanDuel. What is he on DraftKings? He's 5K on DraftKings, and he's a shooting guard small forward. Obviously, you like him more on FanDuel, and I have no issue playing him if Teague is out. Just don't really see a way he could let us down against that awful Warrior team. Hell, even if Teague plays, I think Teague is a fine play, honestly. Anyone against the Warriors is fine. Toronto Pelicans, holy crap, 234 over-under. That's a big number. Jesus, that's really a big number. So the Pelicans, they may be are they the worst defensive team in the league right now? Let me see. I was looking at the defensive metrics before. Wow, the Lakers are the best in the league. That's crazy. Lakers are better than Utah, better than Miami, better than Orlando, Philly. Man, how about them Lakers? So Golden State's the worst in the league, and then the Pelicans defensively. that's such a big number. Toronto, we know where the minutes are going to go, right? Lowry, Van Vliet, OG, Siakam, and then Gasol, Ibaka can share minutes. That's where we look to. They're playing way up in pace. Lowry has been really freaking good. I didn't see this coming. I didn't see him playing 40 minutes a night, taking 15, 16, 17 shots a night. Been really steady, really consistent. 8.5K on FanDuel, 8.3. I probably still don't see myself playing him in cash games, but I'm not going to argue against it. I'm not going to. There is something for saying, hey, 38 minutes of Lowry in a 234 over-under. Sign me up. That just seems so safe, right? Fred VanVleet, after the first game of the season, I thought he was going to just go on a massive tear with usage. It's been all downhill since. 18 shots to start the year, but then it's basically been like 9 to 10 shots a game. And obviously the fantasy production has been in low 30s, 20s. Price is 6.8 on FanDuel, 6.2 on DraftKings. I want exposure to this game, so I'm trying to find ways to get it. Could he be away? Maybe. I wish he would shoot a little bit more. I don't know why he's not. And I must admit, Toronto, I haven't watched their last, I think, 2 games. I think I've seen 1 quarter. So I'm not really sure what's going on with why he's being so passive on the court. I'd like to kind of, if I could, go back and watch a little bit of their last couple games and see what's transpiring to make him not being aggressive. OG, fine, not cheap. 6K is a fair price for him. Does a lot of different things on the court. Siakam, that might be the way that I go and get my piece of this game. He's 9.3. Only 13 shots last game. What is his DraftKings price? 8.8. I'm telling you, like, watching Siakam Ingram duel in this game is going to be great. Watching this game is going to be awesome. Having a lineup and playing Siakam and Ingram in it should be a lot of fun. So I love the Siakam play. Man, in this pace, him and Ingram could both put up just such massive numbers. If the game does hold to that over-under, which it should, I really do love Siakam. And if he made my cash game lineup, I wouldn't be surprised. The problem is, if you pay up for center, I'm not sure. We haven't talked about paying up for another guy, though, yet, right, besides a center. So I think Siakam, safe for all formats, for sure. On the Pelican side, Ingram, I already mentioned him. He's been sensational. Man, it's just, you watch him play, he's unstoppable. He's so long, and he's such an alien out there. Reminds me of I don't even know who the hell he reminds me of. Maybe Durant a little bit? How easy, like, when he's so long, when he wants to get off a shot, there's nothing you can do. It's just nothing. The release point's so high, it's just impossible to defend. And sadly, if you're a Drew Holiday lover like me, it's become Ingram's team as well. Like, Holiday, his points are down, like 7 points a game this year? His assists are down a couple? Man, it's very disappointing. But you know what that means, right? That means, is this the day we can play some Holiday? Again, Toronto's a really good defensive team, so not an easy matchup. And again, Siakam is a really good defender, so I can't wait to watch Siakam defend Ingram. Maybe he can be the first guy to kind of give him some trouble. We'll see. So on the Pelican side, again, Ingram, I'm okay with it, but I don't love the play at that price, even though he's been great. Holiday's my favorite guy. Again, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to be stubborn, because when Holiday has a big game, I want to be there for it. He's 8.2 on FanDuel, and he's 7.9 on DraftKings, and I think he can get us there. It's gonna happen. He's been so bad, and he's still getting around 40 fantasy points. So when he finally does pop off a big game, he's going to get 50, 55, maybe more, and I want to be there for it. So I'm going to have exposure. I just don't know where yet. Lonzo, I don't know, whatever. Josh Hart, I guess Redick is questionable, right? So, but 5.9 for Josh Hart, that seems a little bit too pricey. On DraftKings, he's 5.6. You know, I don't hate that. More in a game stack probably for me. And then Dr. Flavors is probably going to be out again. Or is he? I don't know. I don't know what the hell they're doing with Dr. Flavors. Very weird. Who's going to start, Okafor or Flavors? Man, I don't know. Maybe interested in Okafor if he starts. But hard to like either one of those two guys. Knicks-Dallas. Well, the Knicks can fuck off. It's whatever. It's so late. I'm so sleepy. Just fuck the Knicks. End of story. Randall's dirt cheap. I tried to play him last late. I thought he couldn't hurt me, and he still found a way to freaking hurt me, that fat gravy effer. I mean, what are you doing, dude? Like, what's his problem? He doesn't look right. He can't even get to the bat. He can't finish. He's blown so many freaking layups, and he can't dribble anymore either. Like, I don't know. This is not the same guy that I watched last year dominate every time he got on the court. It's just so bizarre. I don't know. He's so cheap, man. I'm gonna play him again. I'm gonna take a shot. It's just 7K. I mean, he's an 8K player. He should be. I don't understand what the hell is going on. I'll take a shot. I'll probably hate myself for it. But last game he was really bad and got around 30. So if he does that, which he should, that should be his floor, right? That doesn't kill your lineup, but obviously you can't win the car. I'll take a shot with him. I'm not going to play Marcus Morris. I probably won't play Barrett on this slate. Frankie Nicotine, there's better point guard value out there, even though he had a good game last time. Mitchell Robinson is out for the Knicks. Fizdale won't tell us who he's going to start because he is a clown and the worst rotation in the league, even worse than Memphis. So Bobby the Penis Portis, will he even start? Will he play? Who knows? Randall, I would probably just start Randall at the five. Maybe that would get him going. The Penis, Bobby Portis, is so cheap. He's been so bad. So there's a reason why he's 4.4K. Tournaments only. He's 5.5 on DraftKings, only 4.4 on FanDuel. Can he pop up a big game? Yeah, we've seen it. We saw it this year, I think. So in tournaments, you can do it. But any Knick you play, man, it's scary right now. The Dallas side, it's a nice matchup for them. So if you want to go, you want to try to get the money for Luka, 10.5, FanDuel 9.9 on DraftKings, I'm perfectly fine with it for any format you want. The rest of the guys, probably just going to be a pass for me. Porzingis, this is going to be a big narrative. I'm sure people are going to be talking about Porzingis versus the Knicks. So maybe you want to, if you like the narratives, you go down that road. I never will target a guy for narratives. Like, I believe in data. I believe in playing guys based on usage and minutes and matchup and what my eyes see from watching these guys play. Will I sometimes use narrative as like a tiebreaker or just if I want to have a lineup for fun? Sure. But don't play a guy. Like some of you guys played Kemba tonight because you wanted the revenge, right? Ooh, Kemba revenge! How'd that work out for you, huh? How'd that work out? Pretty shitty feeling now, isn't it? Like that revenge stuff, it's just, like one day I will make a massive spreadsheet and do a big data compilation of all the revenge games because there's a bunch every damn night, and then like some work out right, but when they work out, how much of it is really because of revenge or any of the damn narratives? Probably very little. So like I don't give that stuff much credence, man. You want to play Porzingis because it's against the Knicks? More power to you. Other than that, I mean, Powell stares at me as like a last piece, maybe. But FanDuel, I'm going to be paying up at center. I'm telling you that. Philly, Denver. Denver is a team that I just don't want any part of. I mean, they're close to Orlando and a team that I just loathe watching. They look unhappy. They look miserable playing together. Their offense is very stagnant. They're not moving the ball. Their assists are way down from last year. Everything is off from this team. They're still so good, and just they have a nice a roster, and they know how to play together. They still keep winning games. But Murray, Harris, Barton, if Barton plays, who knows? He's always questionable. Millsap, Jokic, it's just a solid group. And it's a really good bench, too, with Grant, Beasley, Plumlee, and all those guys. Even Craig, a really good defender. So just right now, in DFS purposes, they're kind of like Orlando. I don't really have a lot of desire to play those guys. Big Honey, Fat Sloppy Jokic is 8.5K on both sites. You talk about it coming down from a pivot from the Drummond, Towns, and Bede. It's risky on this slate, isn't it? Raise your hand if you're going to do it. My hand is up. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to go crazy. I'm not playing him in my cash games. I will have one lineup, though, with Jokic because I want to be there. Like I want to be on these guys a day early rather than a day late. Get him at low ownership. He's been awful. He's fat. He's definitely out of shape. He's lumbering out there. And because he's out of shape, he's committing a lot of silly fouls because his reaction is slow on the court. But he will turn it around. He's too good of a player. So when will he? Hell if I know. Not a good matchup against Embiid, right? Tough matchup here. By the way, there's no over-under because I don't even know who we're waiting on in this game. Barton? Really? That's why we don't have a line? Simmons is out. Jokic, again, tournaments only. Don't get crazy with it because center's loaded, but I'll try. By the way, I did look and see Jokic and Embiid. They played a few times. Last year, Jokic Jokic got the best of him, man. They played February 8th. And Jokic had 27 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals. How about that? How about them apples? I'll take that stat line. Embiid struggled a bit. Embiid was 15 points, 12 boards, 4 of 17 from the field, 23%. The game before that, Embiid was okay, 20 points, 13 boards. Embiid has not had big games versus Jokic. So we'll see what he does on Friday. But that, I thought that was interesting at least. So on the Denver side, they can all go to hell for the most part. Philly, Simmons is out with that shoulder injury. So what will they do, huh? Well, they started Korkmaz in the second half, but Nato got most of the minutes. So even if Nato starts, doesn't start, I would expect him to be the chalk play at point guard at basically the minimum. 3.4 on DraftKings, 3.7 on FanDuel. I don't understand why they didn't price him up a bit. The sites knew Simmons was out. He popped off 25 fantasy points last game. Took 11 freaking shots. I gotta say, he looked good. I've never been a fan of his game. Where was he last year? Was he on to Detroit last year? I don't even freaking remember now. It's so late. But he looked good. If the ownership dictates we play him in cash, so be it. Right now, it is leaning that way. He stinks at basketball, so I'm 100% in tournaments going to have a lineup without him. I can tell you that. I'll have a bunch of lineups without him. But cash games, if that's the route that we go, so be it. We'll see if things stay that way. You know, no, the sample size without Simmons was too small for me to take anything away from it. Obviously, Embiid should be in a great spot. He's going to be popular, I think. Although, hell, even without Simmons, man, I don't know. I think I still prefer Drummond or Towns over Embiid. We'll see. We'll see where eventually I stand on that. But obviously Embiid's fine, right? he should get a lot of usage. It should run the entire offense through him. I'm fine if you want to go that route. And Jokic is fat and out of shape too, so that should help him as well. But other than that, I don't know. I mean, Simmons is not a massive usage guy anyway, right? I mean, Jay Rich projections seem to really like him. Whatever. It's hard to get excited to play him. Corky, do you really want to play Furkan Korkmaz on an 11-game slate? I don't really. So I don't know. I don't even with Simmons out. I mean, average Al Tobias. I need to think more on this. Right now, I still don't have a lot of desire to play guys from that game. That's going to be one of the uglier games on the slate. And without Simmons, this could be a really freaking slow game. Who's going to push the pace for Philly? Jay Rich? I don't think so. So I could see that game being really freaking ugly. So no thanks. Bucks Jazz. 217 over under. The Bucks, I just don't want to play anyone here. Giannis is an interesting guy. I think he's probably going to go overlooked. Everyone sees Utah and gets scared. I think I do prefer Siakam in cash the more I think about this slate. So I probably won't be playing Giannis in cash. He's been so good, though, man. Against the Clippers, watching him put up like close to 70, and I had him in like one lineup. He's freaking amazing. So never wrong to play him. There, no one can stop him. I don't care which team. I mean, Utah, Philly, Clippers, doesn't freaking matter. He's a monster. I will play him in a tournament lineup for sure. Bledsoe's been good lately, but you know, I don't trust it. Middleton, why does he exist? Nobody knows. Brook Lopez has these weird games where he pops off for 40 against Gobert. Doesn't seem likely. So the, you know, screw the Bucks. Utah, I just like other games. There's better players to target, right? So, I mean, Conley has gone back to being awful. Mitchell is going to have some tough defense with Bledsoe and Matthews. He's fine, though. I there's better players, though, man. Beal's in a better spot. I like other shooting guards better than Mitchell, I think. So I just don't see myself playing any. Who else would you want to play from Utah? No one. Another team, not an enjoyable watch right now, which sucks because I thought they would be. Brooklyn-Portland, here you go. This is a nice game. No, is there a line? No line yet? Why is there no line? I don't see a line here. Who are we waiting on? Hold on, that's going to bug me. I thought... is DeAndre Jordan that good that we can't get a freaking line? Come on, man. That's insane. Where's this game? Brooklyn. Oh, there's a line. 233 over under. That's a wow. Jeez, that's a big number. Portland, 2.5-point favorite. Where's Brooklyn defensively? They've not been good. I can tell you that. I closed the tab. Not even. I can't give you the exact number. They've been pretty bad, though. Definitely bottom five in the league. So, Portland playing way up in pace here. On a back-to-back. Oh, man. Can we go back to Whiteside? Oh, God. I can't take it. My body can't handle going Whiteside again. what is his price? We always want to kill Brooklyn centers, and Jordan's out, so Jared Allen. By the way, Jared Allen's still a power forward on FanDuel. So Jared Allen should get the start, and hopefully, God, can he play 30 minutes for once? Would be glorious. Whiteside, 7.8 on FanDuel, 6.5 on DraftKings. Man, like Whiteside, that's the most minutes he's played in I don't know how long. I gotta see what Stott says about his minutes. If he's gonna, will he even be alive by game time tomorrow? Whiteside's clearly in play. One of the first five rules of DFS: attack Brooklyn center. So this is a juicy game all the way around. You can stack it up. You can have fun with it, man. Yeah, Lillard's up at 10.1 now on FanDuel, 9K on DraftKings. DraftKings, that's a little bit too cheap. Pricing is really fascinating in this game because Lillard is $700 cheaper on DraftKings than Kyrie, but he's $300 more expensive on FanDuel. So obviously, DraftKings, I love the Lillard play. That's too cheap given this matchup for him. FanDuel, I probably would lean Kyrie with his massive usage and a little bit cheaper of a salary, but both fine plays. Other Portland guys, you know, I'd never wrong to play McCollum as a last piece. I played him in cash on FanDuel on Thursday, and he got me there. 35 fantasy points, 9 of 23 from the field. He takes a lot of shots. He does. And this game should have a lot of extra possessions. So he could get 40 pretty freaking easily. So I like the CJ play. Rodney Hood, why does he exist? Wow. I can't believe I was able to win a few grand on DraftKings playing Rodney Hood because he was in my lineup. 4.5 on FanDuel, 3.6 on DraftKings. Jesus. I mean, that's the whole thing. Like, you play Rodney Hood not to play Rodney Hood. You play him because of what he can do for the rest of your lineup, right? Like, on Thursday, man, I don't even remember who. Now it's so late, I don't even remember who the hell did I even play. I don't even know. But he allowed me to play some stars, I'm sure. I'm sure I've had someone good in that lineup, right? And that's why you play a guy like that, right? It's what he allows for the rest of your roster construction. If he happens to have a good game, that's just gravy. With that said, he looked really bad on Thursday. He was not aggressive at all. Simons, that 19-year-old kid, came in off the bench and was lights out, was super aggressive, and then you had little pussy Rodney. Can I say that on there? Well... You had little P. Rodney Hood standing in the corner, scared to shoot, just doing nothing. His defense is okay, and he was rebounding. I guess that's something. But I swear, there's been a few games this year where Hood has been aggressive. Like, I don't. He's a weird guy, man. Like, five shots in 30 minutes. Like, what are you doing, dude? Like, I very bizarre. He's just not involved in that offense. It's last piece, if he makes your lineup, fine. But, you know, obviously we don't target him. Tolliver, no way. Portland's just got too many guys, man. Like, Stotts kills you with Hazonia and Bazemore, and now throw Simons in there. So, you know, after watching the game, I would say Simons is your best bet. Like, he was great, and he's the minimum, basically. It's just really hard to trust on an 11-game slate. So I'll probably just stick with Dame and CJ if I have exposure to this game. On the Brooklyn side, Jared Allen, as a power forward, is only 5.2K. With no DeAndre Jordan, I think he's going to make my cash game lineup. I really do. And again, right now, Portland, Collins has got, they besides Whiteside, they have no big guys, really. I mean, Scalabassier and Tolliver, and they play Hazonia a lot, like at the four right now. So, Jared Allen, he should come through for us on this slate. I love him. I like him a lot. Safe for all formats, I think. LeVert, you know, it's okay. I don't see myself going there a ton. Then Goofy Joe and Prince, you know, if they make my lineup, you know, Goofy Joe won't because I hate him, and he never does enough for me. Tarian Prince, though, he could pop off a big game. I don't mind that. And then always off the bench, Dinwiddie Doodle. He just, it's a fair price, and his usage is still fine. I don't see myself playing a ton of him, but if he makes your lineup, it's okay. The minutes have been down. Last three games, I think he's been, you know, under 26 minutes. So I don't love the play there, but it's okay, I guess. Finally, one more game. I'm losing my voice, man. Miami Lakers. Lakers, best defensive team in the league. Miami, also really good defensively. Miami's got too many guys now. Winslow, I think, is going to be out again. I think he's dealing with the concussions or concussion symptoms. You know, I will say I think I am done with Nunn. We had a torrid love affair. It lasted, what, a little over 2 weeks. But it's just hard to – I can't give you reasons to play him anymore. He doesn't do enough on the court with peripherals to really play him. If he's not making a shot and his usage isn't even that great – I don't know why we would play him on an 11-game slate on Thursday. I was very torn between going him or Dragic against Phoenix. I had the exact same lineup. I played one in each. Ultimately, I decided to go with Dragic based on a lot of the advanced stats I was looking at. And I like that Dragic usage coming off the bench. Assist opportunities were better for Dragic. Just everything kind of pointed me in Dragic's direction. And then watching the game, it just clarified everything. I mean, Nunn, also in that, Butler got really aggressive. So, I mean, Nunn was such a non-factor. It was a miracle he got any fantasy points, quite honestly. Butler was doing everything. So, and now they're playing a team, you know, Avery Bradley and Danny Green, those guys have been lights out defensively. So, yeah, I think there's better value plays, better plays, period, than Nunn. Butler is still too cheap on DraftKings, right? He's 7.4. So if there's one guy I'd look to, the two guys I'd look to would be Butler and Bam, and then going back to Dragic. I don't like playing Dragic on back-to-backs, though. His knees? He's old. That body's a lot of wear and tear, man. He plays on the national team, too. Played all summer as well, so the Dragic back-to-back would concern me a little bit. But again, Butler, Bam, and then Dragic. Maybe Tyler Hero. In a tournament, Tyler Hero would be one guy you could look to. He's impressive. He impressed me. Even though he didn't put up a big number on Thursday, I was impressed with his game. He got 29 minutes, and you know, down the stretch, he was on the court. He demanded to guard Devin Booker. Like, just the kid's got balls, man. And he's very fair price, 5.2K, 5.3 on DraftKings. Like him a little bit more on FanDuel. So as a tournament play, he could get hot. I don't hate that, but you don't need to play Miami guys. And then the Lakers, you know, I don't. LeBron and AD, tough matchups for them, right? I mean, Butler's going to defend LeBron, you would think, and then Bam's going to take on AD, and that's so. This will be a really fun game to watch in real life, but for fantasy purposes, I don't see myself having a ton of exposure I'm going to look in other routes. I'm sure LeBron and AD will be a little under-owned on this slate. So in a tournament, you can obviously play those guys, right? The more I think about it, though, I really do think I'm going to go for my spend-up small forward thing. I think I may go Siakam. I really do right now. We'll see, though. All right. That's it. That's the slate. God, guys, it's 7:22 in the morning. I'm freaking beat. All right. That's it for now. It's a fun one. Hope you had a good week. And I will see you back, Monday? Or hopefully I'll see you in Slack today. All right, for the bailiff, for the judge, court is mercifully adjourned.